Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Welcome to Sarah Gonzalez Unfiltered. Let me check. No bugs on the table today. So we're hoping it stays that way. So the left is going absolutely nuts today, melting down in true leftist fashion, by the way, which we all know the left has the most epic meltdowns ever. So this time, this was after independent presidential candidate, of course, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., said yesterday, had the audacity to say yesterday on CNN that he thinks that Joe Biden is a greater threat to democracy than former President Trump. Now, I'm going to play this clip for you, and I want you to listen to how the host, Aaron Burnett, phrases the question, do you really think that the threat to democracy that Trump poses is actually equal to Biden? Do you really think that? Here's that exchange.
I see Trump and Biden as the same, different issues. But do you really believe that when people talk about the threat to democracy that Trump poses, do you really think that that is an equal to Biden?
I can make the argument that President Biden is a much worse threat to democracy. And the reason for that is President Biden is the first candidate in history, the first president in history that has used the federal agencies to censor political speech, so to censor his opponent. I can say that because I just won a case in the Federal Court of Appeals and now before the Supreme Court that shows that he started censoring not just me. 37 hours after he took the oath of office, he was censoring me. No president in the country has ever done that. The greatest threat to democracy is not somebody who questions election returns, but a president of the United States who used the power of his office to force the social media companies, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, to open a portal and give access to that portal to the FBI, to the CIA, to the IRS, to CISA, to NIH, to censor his political critics. President Biden, for the first president in history, to use the secret, his power over the Secret Service, to deny Secret Service protection to one of his political opponents for political reasons. He's weaponizing federal agencies. Those are really critical threats.
Now, after that, the typical leftist mainstream media response, but Donald Trump, but what about Trump? But Donald Trump tried to incite an insurrection, but Trump, orange man bad. This, you can like see her short circuiting. You can just envision her, just her brain is just short circuiting at that answer. And so of course, the left melts down and RFK was at, imagine he's asked to clarify his comments. Like, it was that controversial that he's got to like go on Fox News this morning. And by the way, credit where credit is due, he did not back down. He, in fact, doubled down this morning. Watch.
Denying me Secret Service protection. That's never happened in history.
You think he's behind that?
What?
Do you think Joe Biden is behind?
Of course he is.
Does he know that your dad was assassinated?
He has a bust of my father behind him at the Oval
Office. So how does he sleep at night?
Well, I don't know, but it's just not right. All of these, the use of the courts, the use of prosecutors, the use of all these federal agencies to change our political landscape is wrong, and we should be debating about it.
He's absolutely right, of course. And I want to make this clear whenever I talk about RFK Jr., I'm not voting for him. Remember, he did start out on the Democrat ticket, or tried to. And so I'm not going to vote for someone who is a Democrat. I don't agree with all of his policies. I agree with him on some things. I agree with him, by the way, that Joe Biden poses a greater threat to our democracy than Donald Trump. I agree with him on the issue of vaccines in this country. But I'm not advocating for him to be president. I just want to make that clear. But when it comes to the conversation about, is Trump a greater threat to democracy than Joe Biden? It's just so hard for me to wrap my head around all of these people on the left who just truly lack the self-awareness to understand this. Now, I get it. There are some players in this that they do understand that it's false. They know that. They're just pushing the narrative that's helpful to their agenda. But like, there are so many useful idiots here who genuinely don't understand. And I just feel like, imagine being so pea-brained or, I don't know, so out of touch with what's actually going on, or just so broken by Donald Trump because of his mean tweets, so broken as an individual. You can actually rationalize the idea that Trump poses a greater threat to democracy than Joe Biden. Now, again, I feel like every time we talk about the left using the term democracy, I do have to point out, because you guys will scream at me in the comments, we don't live in a democracy. I know that. I know we don't live in a democracy. But what they mean by that, when they repeat that talking point, when they say Trump poses a greater threat to democracy, what they mean is that Trump poses a greater threat to our system than Joe Biden, the way in which the country is set up to operate, the way in which this country makes decisions and elects people. That's what they mean by our democracy. So I just want to get this straight. You mean to tell me that the man who advocates free and fair elections pushes to make sure that your vote actually counts and cannot be stolen, which, by the way, you should really care about if you're concerned with democracy or the voting process. You really should care that everyone's vote is confirmed as being valid if you care about the system. You really should make sure that someone who is not supposed to vote comes in and votes and cancels your vote out. That is really, really important when you talk about democracy. And they never seem to care about that. It's interesting to me. So the man who wants everyone's vote to count and to close our border to protect our precious democracy, okay, to bring back law and order, is somehow worse than the man who, as RFK rightfully pointed out, is pressuring social media companies to censor Americans' speech, his dissidents' free speech. It's not the people in his corner who are getting censored. It's just coincidentally us. It's just his political opponents. The man who, by the way, is raiding his top political opponent's home to uncover the same type of documents that he himself had sitting in a box in a garage next to his car that his crackhead son drives. The guy labeling parents at school board meetings domestic terrorists, or sending the FBI to spy on Catholic churches. The man who is going after pro-life protesters for exercising their First Amendment rights. I mean, he is actually charging them, making sure that they're convicted. Pro-life protesters in this country in the year 2024 now face jail time for exercising their First Amendment rights, protesting abortion under the Joe Biden regime. He's letting out violent criminals into the streets to reoffend. He's inviting millions of unvetted strangers into the country. He is every single day, seemingly, threatening your safety and security while fighting to disarm you. Don't let that part be lost on you. By the way, the illegals, they can keep their guns. You, no. Every federal agency that I can think of has been weaponized against us, the dissidents, against his political opponents, and they're out there screaming about democracy. Okay, cupcake. But I'll try to end this with good news. There is good news, I think, on the horizon. A new Fox News national survey not only shows Donald Trump leading Joe Biden 50-45, it also says those polled believed that nothing was Joe Biden's top accomplishment. Meaning, when they asked the respondents to name the Biden regime's top accomplishment, 38% of people could not name a single thing that he had done right or said Joe Biden's presidency has been a net negative for the country. Boy, things are not going what I would call well for Joe Biden. And I'm just saying, okay, close your eyes, take in a deep breath, and just picture November 6th, 2024. We elected our boy back in the White House the night before. And not only will we have a shot at saving the country and getting things back on track, we'll also get to relive this again.
Donald J. Trump is now president of the United States.
Possibly the greatest clip of all time.
Introduced for the first time ever anywhere, the 45th president of the United States of America, Donald.
No, the horror. I'm just saying, I could never imagine reacting that way to, like, let's say Joe Biden gets reelected again, which, you know, maybe they'll fortify things. I don't know. But I can't imagine reacting in that way. But also, I'm not mentally ill or a leftist, which go hand in hand. Let's not forget. So when we get back, I want to talk about, you know, I so often talk about the issue of illegal immigration and the great replacement, not theory, because it's not a theory anymore. I want to talk to someone who is working to change that. First, I want to thank our sponsor, Birch Gold. So look, there's a really common sense reason gold is pushing to all-time highs right now. Actually, there are several reasons. Okay, the cost of goods continues to rise despite interest rate controls by the Fed since January 2021. Cost of living is up 17.9%. Great. Oh, by the way, nobody can afford to buy homes. That's a thing, too. The national debt continues to skyrocket. It's above $34 trillion. And, you know, you got to start wondering, when is that house of cards going to come crashing down? A presidential election year that's going to have massive implications on the future of this country as well. All of this is adding up to instability and uncertainty. And that is why so many Americans, including myself, are turning to Birch Gold Group. So if you have not diversified your savings yet, secure a portion of them with gold from Birch Gold. You can text the word Sarah to 989898. They're going to send you a free information, no obligation kit. You can learn how to convert an existing IRA or 401k into a tax-sheltered IRA in gold. It's not going to cost you a penny out of pocket. I do business with Birch Gold. I can tell you from personal experience, they make it super easy. Text the word Sarah to 989898. So I so often talk about how nefarious it is that the Democrats are participating in this open borders policy, allowing millions upon millions of illegal, unvetted strangers into the interiors of the country for so many reasons. And one of them that I am trying to sound the alarm on is you may think that it can't change elections if illegal immigrants simply cannot vote. Now, I'd also add, they can in some places in local elections, but federally, people say, oh, well, they're not allowed to vote. Don't you be spreading conspiracy theories. They can't vote. Therefore, everything is fine. Well, no, because then they're included in the census that is taken later on down the road. And then what happens? Oh, all of these blue areas, these sanctuary cities get more and more representation in Congress and they can skew the numbers in that way. So I want to talk to someone who is who's fighting back against that. Welcome to the program, Congressman Warren Davidson from Ohio, who is co-leading legislation to, in fact, fight back against that. So, Congressman, thank you so much for joining me. Tell me about the Equal Representation Act.
Yeah, so this is legislation that creates a law to require the census to count U.S. citizens and then only use the count of U.S. citizens when doing the apportionment of representation. So it builds on a constitutional amendment that I had introduced in 2017, because what's happening is, you know, just as Donald Trump went to court to try to make sure that this happened the right way, people say, well, why did he do that? Well, we have 20 extra members of Congress who are represented by Democrats because states like California have like 7 extra members of Congress. Mm-hmm. And not just anywhere randomly, they have them in sanctuary cities. That's where they draw all the illegal population into, and that overstates the population in these cities.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I was just talking about the left always complaining about threats to democracy. Everything that they don't like is a threat to democracy. And it's just, it's so fascinating to me that they seem to not care about when you're talking about, again, I would say we don't have a democracy, but let's just pretend that we do. We'll play semantics with them. Okay, you have a democracy. What do you think is going to happen when it gets exploited and loopholes are being used to game the system? You would think that people who claim to care so much about their beloved democracy would care about something like that. And yet the left just turns a blind eye to it.
Well, they're not really turning a blind eye to it. They're designing these policies on purpose.
You're right.
You know, they're not accidentally getting this outcome. They don't like the policy in spite of the outcome. They like the policy because of the outcome. There are members of Congress who have said, yeah, we need population coming into my city. Why? Because eventually they wise up and move out. You know, California is the most left state in the country, not just politically, but people wise up to what's going on there and they leave. So they need non-citizens to come in. And, you know, whenever we try to say, oh, you should only count citizens, you know, they act like somehow that's abhorrent. Well, show me where you would travel and you would expect some member of parliament in, you know, Britain or Ireland or somewhere to be representing you. Every foreigner does have representation in America. It's at an embassy or a consulate. That's your representative if you're not an American. And if you're an American, yeah, you should be represented by someone in Congress. And that you can't do unless you do the census the right way.
Yeah. Yeah. So is this will this be heard on the floor? Where is it in the process?
Well, so the constitutional amendment wasn't getting traction. And so Senator Hagerty over in the Senate wanted to do a legislation. And so, you know, Congressman Edwards and I, new member of Congress from North Carolina, introduced this in the House. Senator Hagerty already forced a vote in the Senate as part of the appropriations bill that passed, and only 32 senators voted for it. Unfortunately, all the Democrats, actually, I stand corrected, there were some Republicans who weren't there to vote for it. All the Democrats voted against it. All the Republicans present voted for it.
Okay.
And we need that recorded vote in the House. And so Speaker of the House talked with the House Majority Leader, Steve Scalise. Scalise schedules the floor, and they're planning to have a vote on this year.
Yeah, that is something that we need much more of when it comes to not just this issue, but so many is just like, give me the record. I want all of you guys in D.C. on record on whether or not you think that this is a reasonable action, because anyone who cares a lick about this country and the foundations upon which we were created could not argue that this is beyond, like, it's like this is such a common sense, reasonable bill.
Well, I felt that way for a long time, and yet Democrats literally sued President Trump in court to prevent him from counting citizens for this purpose. And look, count the rest of the population by all means. I want to know everybody who's here, why they're here, what they're up to. The demographic data is useful for business. But the reason the census is in the Constitution is to allocate representation amongst the states. The senators are two per state, no matter what the population, and then they allocate the House based on the population of the state. And it shouldn't just be any population. It should be the people that we represent, which are U.S. citizens. I don't know how in the world that's controversial.
Yeah, I agree. So being that you have to work in the swamp, which my apologies to you for that, I am going to have to travel there within the next week. And I'm already like, oh, man, there's just a difference in the air there. But being that you have to work there, I want to get your thoughts on your take on this. There was a D.C. judge that just recently ruled against a conservative group who sued over D.C.'s voting rule that non-citizens, they're one of several places that non-citizens can vote on certain things in local elections. And the D.C. judge said her ruling was based upon the fact that the group had not shown how they were harmed by non-citizens voting in those elections. What say you?
Yeah, we're definitely in a post-fact era for making arguments. And that's one thing when you're making arguments on social media, but it's pretty scary when you're in a post-fact world in court. And unfortunately, that seems to be the way justice is being dished out in Washington, D.C. I think people need to get out of jurisdictions where you don't have reliably good judges. And sadly, that's an increasing area. You know, I have five counties that make up the population in my district. One of the counties that is where Cincinnati is, Hamilton County. And you can tell once you start electing judges that are, you know, kind of in this mindset, law and order starts falling down. And once you lose the prosecutor, it's really problematic. So it is really important at the most basic level, prosecutors and judges are the ones that adjudicate justice. You know, don't hurt people, don't take their stuff. And when that happens, you want somebody to render justice. And that's not happening in lots of jurisdictions.
Yeah. So on the issue of illegal immigration, obviously the Biden regime, what I call them, the Biden regime tried to push this bill that they were claiming was a border security bill. It obviously, it spent money on bringing more processing agents, or as you know, I call them processing agents. Of course, Joe Biden would call them Border Patrol to come and process these people into the country. But I didn't see real border security in that bill. Are we going to get that, do you think, from the House, this year?
Real border security, you know, passed the House last May, H.R. 2. It has full policy changes, and the messaging on that bill has been great. It took a lot for Republicans to work together and pass that. It has some really important reforms. I'd like to see some extra ones that target the cartels. You know, we keep fighting over border security versus immigration. I hope we could at least agree to stop the cartels. Mm-hmm. But we can't get a vote on that, unfortunately. And Republicans took a pass when it came to the final spending bill. Instead of holding the line and saying we're going to fund the government, but we're only going to fund one that secures the border, the compromise that the Senate worked out was they were going to fund a government, just as you said, one that processes more illegals faster. And the House should have insisted, no, we're going to do it with policy changes because that's what's going to be required. Joe Biden's not going to change course because Mike Johnson asked him nicely. He's going to change course because we compel it to happen. And unfortunately, the real leverage we have with spending went out the door without that resolve.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I am rooting for this legislation. It has to happen. It needs to happen. Look, you're one of the good guys. So I mean no disrespect to you, but I don't have a whole lot of faith in a lot of the squishy Republicans that are in D.C. right now. So we will hold them fully accountable, hold their feet to the fire to make sure to do the right thing with the Equal Representation Act. I appreciate you joining me. And I would like to give you a compliment, if I may, Congressman. So often I have people on this show and they're in Congress. And unfortunately, I catch them when they are actually on the Hill. And they're using crappy government internet and the picture's all fuzzy and it's, you know, it's all echoey in the building. And this has been a wonderful, I love this. The background is beautiful. I can hear you and I appreciate it.
Well, thanks a lot. Thanks for having me on. And thanks for highlighting the legislation. You know, one bit of hope in this big spending bill, a majority of Republicans said no to that. Mm. So, I mean, that's something to work with. And I think, you know, if we get back to regular order, more recorded votes is really the recipe, and people can take note. Where does your member of Congress stand? And then the country can send the right reinforcements.
Yep, I totally agree. Thank you so much, Congressman, for your time. Congressman Warren Davidson. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, so before we go to break, we'll be back with our panel. But first, we want to thank our sponsor, Relief Factor. So look, millions of Americans, they live in pain and they just think that this is just my life now. And it kind of sucks. And I'm impatient with my children or my spouse because I've constantly got this nagging pain. If that's you, if you feel attacked right now, if you feel like I'm speaking directly to you, it doesn't have to be that way. Try Relief Factor. It's an all-natural anti-inflammatory that's very powerful, but not the kind that's going to make you feel like super loopy and weird, because it's all natural, okay? And it targets the inflammation in your body, which oftentimes that is the root cause of your pain. So just think about how crazy it could be, how your life could change if you just were completely out of pain. You got rid of the root cause of the problem. You can do that with Relief Factor. So here's what I'm telling you to do. Go to their website, get their 3-week quick start. 70% of the people who buy that go on to keep buying more. That's how many people that is working for. So the odds are in your favor that it will work for you. They've also got a guarantee. So you've got nothing to lose except your pain. Go get that 3-week quick start at relieffactor.com. That is relieffactor.com. right, before we get into this next topic, I want to remind you guys, I will be gone starting on Thursday. I will be back the following Thursday. Do not accuse me of being lazy or not working. I am working through the weekend every single day. I get no time off. My panelists are shaking their heads at me as if I'm lying. I am filming a documentary with Blaze. I'm just going to say, we're going to talk about these rigged elections. Okay, that's what I'll tell you. And it's going to be really good stuff, but I got to go to the swamp. I got to go to Michigan. So I will be gone. Do not expect to see, well, you can watch a rerun. I don't know. What do I care? Welcome to the program, Matthew Marsden, Blaze TV contributor and actor and producer extraordinaire, along with longtime no-see friend.
I know, sorry
about that. Host of Stinchfield, which you should be following. Find it wherever you get your podcasts. Yeah. Where you been?
Yeah, just busy. I mean, the Real America's Voice show, it has been going great. And then I was traveling around all over the place. So yeah.
Did I see you at Mar-a-Lago recently?
I was. Yep. Yep. Okay. Got to see the president. He's doing great.
My invite got lost in the
literally world. Doing great. Well, next time, of course. Matthew, you're more than welcome to come too.
Thank you very much.
Saying. Okay, I want to touch on this. Look, I'm not a fan of women's basketball. I don't watch women's basketball. I understand college would probably be more entertaining than the WNBA, as usually, in my opinion, college sports are. But I bring this up for a particular reason. So the LSU women's basketball team left the court before the national anthem during their Elite Eight matchup against the Iowa Hawkeyes. And of course, the Iowa team, a little bit of a contrast there, stood holding hands during the anthem. Now, it was interesting because LSU's coach, Kim Mulkey, said that it wasn't intentional. They have a routine of leaving the court at a certain time. Huh. Interesting. Well, first of all, Iowa went on to win the game 94-87 and advanced to the Final Four, which I think they call karma. And second of all, sports reporter for LSU confirmed that LSU actually never stays on the court for the anthem. So I guess it is a routine time. It just happens to be routinely during the anthem. I want to play a clip of that happening just recently. Watch. There's Iowa. Locking hands. Okay, so let's see. Other side. Nope, just empty. Well, that loss couldn't have happened to a more deserving team.
Can I say something?
Please.
This coach of LSU, thanks to Jason Whitlock, who works here at the Blaze, I had no idea. She's like an antichrist to the left. They hate her. And she literally, if you watch the way she dresses like a female. She doesn't want dating between girls on her team. She is literally hated by them. And I will say this too. I went to North Carolina Duke men's game here in Dallas. Mm-hmm. The national anthem was like 45 minutes before the game. Mm. I was like, what is going on? So I actually believe her when she says, we went in before. I think during all this with the TV and everything like that, it could be.
But why was the Iowa? But why was the Iowa team there then?
I don't know. It could be luck that they were still out there practicing when the thing comes in. Now you should know when the national anthem is. Okay, especially in the political climate we live in, know when the national anthem is. Have your team there. But I actually believe her, and I have more respect for her after reading Jason Whitlock's comments about her and how she's. She's hated compared to the coach of South Carolina women's, who's like the golden child of the left and LGBTQ mania. And the head coach of LSU doesn't stand for any of that stuff.
Interesting. I guess then my question would just be, why is the routine time always coinciding with the national anthem? Because surely the national anthem isn't done at the same 45 minutes prior at every single game.
No, right? It was wild for the Sweet 16 that it was played so early. Yeah. I'm like, we walked in early and I said to my son, I said, this is crazy. So I don't know if it has something to do with the NCAA tournament, or I'm thinking, okay, if I believe Jason, who I do, I really have a lot of respect for him. Yeah. Is this a setup job on her because she's so despised? And was she set up on the national anthem and her team wasn't there? I don't know. But I don't trust anybody, and I don't trust anything. And after reading his comment
that's
about her,
problem.
I like this coach. I'm sorry they weren't there for the national anthem. You should be there for the national anthem.
And that, and therein lies the problem, Grant, because I'm with you. I don't trust anything. Mm-hmm. I don't trust anyone. Conspiracy theories this day and age end up always being true. So that's a fascinating one.
They made this game all about race. White Iowa versus black LSU. It was like, you know, who was the Great White Hope, Jerry, what's his name, and all these boxing matches, black versus white. This is what they made it out to be. Jerry Cooney was the guy's name, by the way. Thank you. I'm 55. I got it. So they made this out to be about race.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was about race. And then, of course, the other side comes out because it's about race. Well, this team didn't stand for the national anthem. You should be there for the national anthem. But I don't know. Something's fishy going on. This whole thing between Iowa and LSU, the whole thing kind of stinks.
Well, we'd never be talking about this if there wasn't a trend of teams not standing for the national anthem, mm-hmm. kneeling for the national anthem, purposely being in the locker room for the national anthem. This wouldn't even be a thing that we'd be talking about because it would be so easily explained. This day and age, it's not, because it's a trend.
Yeah, well, I'm just triggered because what is a woman? I mean, there's a lot of like woman this, woman that. I mean, I don't know what that means anymore.
Women's basketball team.
Yeah, what does that mean? Mm. No, but I think you're absolutely right. Everything has been politicized now. So whereas before we'd kind of like shrugged that off to maybe there was an error, there was a bit of a mix up here or there and give them maybe the benefit of the doubt. Now we don't. Now we look into these things because everything's been politicized. We can't get away from it. And look, like you say, Grant, it might be that she's this amazing person. Might be that the team doesn't like her and that they walked out. There's
true.
All these different connotations that we can look at for why that happened. But I have to say, one of the most incredible things is as the resident immigrant, one of the things that I always loved is being at a game and hearing the national anthem. So I just love that. I
literally tear up every single time.
Every single time. Every single time. It's still to this day. And if you looked at that, you could hear a pin drop in that arena. And I love it. And we have to fight for that. It's very, very, very important.
Mm-hmm. I agree. By no means am I saying that it shouldn't be out there for the national anthem. I'm just saying it could have been a mistake. Reading from Jason what I read about her, it doesn't make any sense that she wouldn't have her team or allow them to be out there.
Right?
So
what else?
So what else is at play?
Yeah.
You know, and then they're saying, oh, well, I haven't watched a women's college basketball game until last night. That was the first women's college basketball game I watched.
I haven't watched one ever.
This Caitlin Clark is amazing. And they said, well, the only reason we're watching her is because she's white. Well, you know what? I hate to break the news to everybody. All the great athletes in America today are black.
Yeah.
They are. So you know what? It was kind of crazy that this unbelievable athlete who has transformed the game is white. It is an anomaly.
Yeah.
Used to be like that in the NBA until we got Europeans. American white guys still suck at basketball.
Mm-hmm.
But European white guys happen to be great.
Yeah.
And American black guys happen to be great. So you know what? Things are what they are. It doesn't mean you're racist.
Right.
It's just something, it is what it is.
That is a great point. It's like, well, there's finally a white girl who's good at basketball. That's cool.
3-pointers from places I don't even see NBA players hit 3-pointers from. And I'm like, this is crazy watching this game. Now, they will fall into oblivion once they go into the NBA, WNBA. Yep. Everyone will forget about them. They'll get lost there. We'll never hear from them again.
Yeah.
So I watch one game.
Well, speaking of Caitlin Clark, which, again, full disclosure, I know nothing about women's basketball. Absolutely. I know who these people are and I've seen all the clips, but like I don't know anything about women's basketball. But it is interesting to watch just these two teams, the LSU team and the Iowa team, watch their demeanor, watch the way that they win with dignity or not, watch their, let's say, their locker room preparation. So someone put together the two teams as they danced in their locker rooms, and this is what that looks like.
You want to talk? You want to run your mouth?
I'm just a little liar.
So they're singing High School Musical in Iowa. The first one you heard, for those of you who are listening on podcast, that was the LSU locker room rapping with a bunch of expletives and profanity compared to the wholesome little Iowans, you know, doing their little, what is this called, hip circles to High School Musical. So, me, look, I'm just, nothing to do with race, but there does seem to be a difference.
Well, look, they've been talking about the Iowa team as, as you said, wholesome America, middle America. Look at this. And the reality is they're talking like that because the team is mostly white. That's why they're saying that. I mean, we can't lie and say that that's why. I mean, that's exactly why they're saying it. They're the white girls from Iowa who took down LSU, the black girls from Louisiana. That's what it was.
Yeah.
And why everybody's getting so upset about this is if one is bad and one is good, I have no idea. I actually enjoyed watching the game last night.
Wow. Will you watch another one?
Probably not.
What happens? Let me ask you this, though. What happened to all the affirmative action? Like, why aren't there different colored people? Why aren't they mixed? Why isn't it a mix of people on both teams? Why is that?
It's so funny that you asked that because it's a question that I had for Mark Cuban when he's talking about diversity being something that he looks at when hiring people. I'm like, I don't think that's true. I don't think when it comes to your team, you're going to be concerned with diversity, equity, and inclusion when it comes to who wins your games.
And by the way, look, I mean, it was a tight game, right? From the point.
Till the end.
I know nothing about basketball. Let me tell you, I don't. I don't. You're like, I know nothing about women's basketball. I know nothing about basketball at all. And actually, I know one white player, Larry Bird. That's it. Yes. I only know one.
You only know him because he was white.
I do. I only know him because he's the only white decent player I know. But I know Magic Johnson. I know LeBron James. Yeah. I know all those. Because, you know, when you get on YouTube in the middle of the night and you're like watching all the great players, you know, it's the majority of the great basketball players are black. I mean, it's you know, so what? But it is sad that we're getting to this point where everything is seen through the prism of race. It just shouldn't be like that. And clearly, they were pretty evenly matched, right? They were pretty. So one could say that the recruitment on both sides were going for the best possible players.
Right.
Which is what we want. It doesn't matter. So then, to your point, is what makes someone choose one college over another college? What are the things that differentiate that for you as a parent or as a player? Why would you want to go to one place or to another place? You know, I mean, I'm going through that right now, right?
I think in sports, which is why I love sports, because it totally destroys the left's argument for exactly what you said.
Right.
It is about the best of the best, and whether it's women's college basketball, men's college basketball, professional football, whatever it may be, it's about money now. Mm-hmm. The best players have to be on the court. And I think the only reason why Iowa happens to be more white than Louisiana is because if they're pulling from Iowa and Midwest schools, there's probably more white kids. But I promise you, that coach would take a black kid if she was better than the white kid.
Exactly.
They want the best kids on, just as the LSU coach is probably pulling from, you know, Louisiana, heavy black areas. And if there was a white kid, she would gladly. You don't think the coach of LSU would take Caitlin Clark?
Right.
100%.
Right. Right. Exactly. Yeah. It's not about race. They just want to win. So they need the best people to accomplish that.
See, it's so funny. You brought up Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. That's when this all started. This is nothing new. Mm-hmm. It was Larry Bird, white guy from white Boston Celtics, versus Magic Johnson and the black LA Lakers. And that had the whole country watching that series. Hate to break the news to everybody, because it was black and white, and that's what they were interested in.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know. I like your theory, Grant. I would like to see how it plays out.
I threw you for a loop, didn't I?
You really did.
Yeah.
You really did.
That's why you surprised the viewers.
Well, also me, because I'm the host.
Yeah.
Not just a viewer. But it's funny because I know we have to take a break. It's funny. I could tell you two talked because I saw some looks being exchanged while I was talking. And I was like, what do they know that they're not telling me? It was that Grant was about to throw me for a loop. So I appreciate it. And by the way, before we go, want to remind everyone about Roll Call 2.0. You just mentioned Jason Whitlock. Jason has actually partnered with country music star John Rich for Roll Call 2.0. This is presented by Preborn. And on Saturday, June 1st in Nashville, they're going to have great food, great music, fellowship, and they're inviting men to come and listen to the speeches, be transformed by the biblically inspired messages delivered by Jason, Glenn Beck, North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Mark Robinson, who is just an absolute beast, and many more. As it says in Hebrews, godly men must come together and encourage each other toward love and good deeds. You can go to fearlessarmyrollcall.com to reserve your spot. That is fearlessarmyrollcall.com. Well, Matt, you asked, what is a woman? Mm-hmm. Which is a good question to ask. Apparently, the
you are a woman, Sarah.
Am I?
100%.
That is true. Truer words never spoken. The state of Wisconsin apparently is not clear on that yet. So the Democrat governor, Tony Evers, rejected a proposal today, to ban transgender student athletes from competing on sports teams consistent with their gender identity, calling the legislation hateful and discriminatory and part of a broader attack on transgender rights nationwide. Here is him vetoing that.
When you veto something, you don't date it, you don't do anything, you just put not approved on the line. And we have now helped our kids, our trans kids. Thanks, everybody.
Right, okay. But what you did was you just harmed all of your female kids. That's what you did, because this would have, of course, required Wisconsin public and private schools to designate participation in interscholastic, intramural, and club sports based on student athletes' sex assigned at birth rather than gender identity.
You know why I think he did this?
Why?
You take one look at that. You see what a dork he is? I mean, that guy is like the biggest wuss bag going. He's going back to his childhood days. He would have loved to have dressed up as a girl and competed in women's sports because it's the only sports he would have been competitive in.
Great point.
He still would have lost.
Yeah. Probably.
Him, probably. Who knows? Him, probably. Most men, no.
No.
Him,
probably.
He's too girly, probably.
Wait. How did we get here? Still, every time someone brings this up, like this ridiculousness this weekend with Transgender Day of Visibility, I mean, that just got us bumped off YouTube, right?
But you didn't know that transgenders existed until that day, right?
I had no idea, because they're just totally not visible. Every day, everywhere you look, even though you don't meet anyone in real life that is transgender. I mean, it's to sit there and watch this lunacy. And this is what it is. It's just lunacy play out in front of us. I mean, even if you were to look at, let's just say, the amount of people that identify as transgender. Let's just give them that, right? Whatever dysfunction they have,
four.
That's what it is. Let's say
four of them.
Clearly, the majority are not that.
Mm-hmm.
So, as you said, Sarah, we are harming these children. They are getting harmed. So what is going on in that guy's mind? Because look, all these politicians are selfish, right? That it's all for votes. Who's voting for this?
I'm going to give you a great example of how this is harming the Democrats. My sister is a wacky liberal that went to Wellesley College.
I love that you can call your own sister a wacky liberal.
I do love her, but she's a wacky liberal, okay? Her daughter, who lives near Wellesley, Blue, Massachusetts, mm-hmm. She's 14, 15, says to me, no, she's older than that because she drives, 16. She runs track. She says to me, Uncle Grant, this is crazy boys competing against us.
Mm-hmm.
If this happens, I can't win. This is the craziest thing I've ever heard. Why would a boy be allowed to compete against me in track? You know how hard I work for this. And she works so hard at it. Mm-hmm. I said, talk to your mom.
I was about to say that. Did you say ask
your mom about it?
Ask your mother.
Right. So.
Wow.
Yes. So that young person is going to come over and give a look to what we're saying here.
You're right.
It has to be personal. This is every single step of this, whether it's financially, it's going to hurt you, right, with inflation or taxes. that gets people involved. Whether it's, oh, I've just spent my entire life swimming since the, like my son did, since the age of seven, and now you can go and compete against girls and blow them out. They're going to, I don't want that. Mm-hmm. They're going to start reacting to that. It has to be personal. Unfortunately, we don't operate now in theoreticals, right? Like where we can say, well, theoretically, if this happened, this would happen to you.
Right.
Right. Theoretically, if a man was to run track against you, you'd lose. But that would never really happen in the real world. Well, guess what? It's happening.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They have to, I was in sales a long time ago, and they teach you in sales that the way to make the clothes is to make, show them their pain, right? Make them understand what their pain is. And once they see it, they feel the pain, they are more likely to buy in. And so, it goes in right into what you're talking about, which is like, once they see it, once they are feeling that pain, they are feeling that pain at the gas pump. They're feeling that pain at the grocery store. They're feeling that pain when they have a loved one that gets murdered by an illegal immigrant. They're feeling that pain when their children can't qualify for scholarships for something that they've done their whole life that they're really good at because a trans person is taking their place. Make them feel that pain. And then the light bulb clicks and they go, oh, yeah.
But isn't it concerning? To me, it's concerning that people can't conceptualize this and know that it's wrong or that it's harmful.
Right.
Yeah,
they're not like getting. It's like the board is a classic example of that in Martha's Vineyard, right? Like, no, let them in. Oh no, not on my doorstep, right? You should be able to understand the fact that that is going to destroy the fabric of America, that it's going to put a burden on these local communities, put a burden on the government. I don't understand how they can't conceptualize
it. It's because our education system has not taught people how to critically think anymore. So we have a bunch of idiots who cannot conceptualize it because our education system has totally failed them. Grant, last word real quick.
I've dubbed them blind liberal zombies.
Yeah.
That's what they are.
Yeah.
And they've been indoctrinated in this. They can't think for themselves.
Yeah. All right. We got to take a quick break. We'll be right back. Talk about the problems with the airline industry often, whether it be, you know, like just pieces of the plane flying off mid-flight or the diversity hires that apparently they're engaging in. I thought that Southwest Airlines was safe. I would just like to show you, with that being said, a Southwest Airlines employee dancing before a flight and filming himself. Those of you who are listening on podcast, that this is a
what's his job?
That's what I would like to know.
I hope he's not a pilot.
That's what I would like to know.
Yeah,
because I need a I don't know. I need to make sure that my pilots are mentally stable.
Yeah, that was first off, that wasn't a very good dance either.
It was very feminine.
It was.
It did get a little lower than I anticipated. I'll give him that.
Stripper-esque.
Very stripper-esque.
Yes. I would have put my back out.
Not that I would know that by any means.
Oh, I can't do that anymore. Those days are gone.
Not that you would know anything about.
No, I would not.
just from movies, honey. That's all I meant.
If my very special lady friend is watching, I do not know anything about that. I've only seen it in the movies.
Just the movies.
Yes.
Well, let's pray that that man isn't flying my next plane ride.
Stream and subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.